Chandu, the magician.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of White King Soap present for your enjoyment Chandu, the magician. Today, Chandu, master of illusion, offers you one of his mysterious and amazing tricks. Chandu calls this trick the Assyrian Money Changer, and it changes pennies into dimes. You want this trick? Want to mystify and entertain your friends? Want to be a magician just like Chandu? All right. Get that White King box top, send it with a quarter straight to Chandu, Los Angeles 21, and receive your first Chandu magic trick by return mail. What fun you'll have saying, "See this penny? I lay the penny on the table. Now I cover the penny with the mystic ruby block. So coot," I say. Then remove the block, and the penny's gone. Now it's a silver dime. The trick is easy. So easy a child can do it, but it is clever. So clever it is very hard to detect. Start your collection of magic tricks right now with Chandu's Assyrian Money Changer. Just send 25 cents in coin and a White King soap box top to Chandu, Los Angeles, 21. Be sure to print your name and address plainly. Frank Chandler has discovered that secret agents are still carrying forward the plan of world conquest devised by the sinister Roxor before his death. In the small Balkan country of Montebania, Chandler now believes that the baleful Dimitri is making use of the secrets of black magic to bring about the death of Catherine Mason, wife of the American consul. Without disclosing his true reason, Chandler persuades Carter Mason to send his wife away. Later, in the feudal castle where they are staying, Chandler and the regents look into the crystal after receiving a disturbing letter from Naji in Egypt. They see Naji in the ancient room of the alchemist, facing a great mirror. Over her shoulder appears the face of Dimitri himself as Naji tries to warn Chandler against him. And Chandler does not know that even as they listen, Dimitri's evil spell once more falls over Bob. It is broken off when a shadowy figure appears in the hall. Bob runs out to look, but no one is there. Now, 2 hours later, Chandler and Bob come out of an unused room on the second floor of the castle. Chandu, the magician.
Well, there's no use going any farther with this, Bob. He's definitely not up here.
Well, there are dozens of rooms we haven't been in yet, Uncle Frank.
Well, not close enough to the lower hall. You were out there within a few seconds after you and Betty saw him.
Well, maybe he didn't come upstairs at all.
We'd have heard from Mara if he'd gone through the kitchen. She and Lugos are only too willing to believe in the castle ghost.
Look, you don't think it was a ghost Betty and I saw.
No, I'm beginning to wonder if you really saw anyone.
We sure did. I did anyway. Right down there at the foot of the stairs. He looked as if he was sitting on the bottom step.
Well,
he could have whipped upstairs when I came back to tell you he was gone, couldn't he?
Then where is he?
You've got me.
Didn't you find anyone, Frank?
No, Dot.
I hope he isn't hiding up there somewhere. I'll be afraid to go up and change my dress for dinner.
Well, he can't be on the second floor, Betty. I've locked every door up there except our bedrooms. And here are the keys.
Oh, that's something I've been wanting to do ever since we came here.
Why, there must be dozens of them.
You can put them in the chest over there, Frank.
Yeah. You'd sure clank if you went around with them in your pockets.
Well, remember where they are in case we need them.
But who could that have been on the stairs?
Darling, you and Bob must have imagined it. The firelight and the shadows.
I know. I saw a face out there. Maybe he climbed out a window.
Oh, don't be silly. These windows were built to keep out arrows in a battle. The thin man couldn't squeeze through them.
Of course not. Look at them, Betty. Come on now, dear. We'll go up and check.
Oh, wait for me, Mother. If I see him again, I'll just die.
I'm going to have another look around on this floor, Bob.
For a guy that doesn't think we saw anybody.
I didn't say that. I just want to make sure.
Well, yell if you want me. Oh, it sure is funny.
Hi.
Well, I'll see who it is, Mom.
Good evening, Bob.
Oh, hi, Nicholas. Come in.
Is Mr. Chandler at home? I know this is an inconvenient hour to drop in, but I'd like very much to speak to him.
Oh, sure. He'll be back in a minute. Well, come on in here.
Thank you.
Sit down. Oh, I'd better fix that fire. If it ever goes out, we'll have icicles hanging from the ceiling.
I can see that Californians would be cold here.
We were in Egypt for 3 months, too. That'll do it. Look, Nicholas, I've been wanting to ask you something. Maybe now's the time before my uncle comes in.
Righto, what is it?
It's about Dimitri.
Those ridiculous stories about his friends dying? Why, you don't believe him.
Well, that's not what I mean. Did he ever tell you about that music?
Music? No, Bob.
Well, that's funny. You and he are pretty good friends.
Well...
Look, when I was talking to him the other day, I heard some funny-sounding music. And he told me nobody could hear it but his friends.
Oh, he must have been joking.
No, he wasn't, Nicholas. And he said that whenever I heard it, he'd be there.
So this is what comes of having a magician in one's family?
Huh?
Oh, I wasn't supposed to speak of it. But surely you know.
Oh, yeah. But how did you?
Bob, he saved my life with his uncanny ability. In Tibet.
For Pete's sake. No wonder he acted as if he knew you that night at Mr. Mason's.
No. But look here, Bob. About to meet
you. Now, you can't make me think it isn't so. Because I've heard that music twice since.
What do the others think it is, Bob?
Well, they don't even seem to hear it.
What?
Well, they never say anything about it. I thought you'd be sure to know what it is.
If it really worries you, I'd speak to Mr. Chandler.
I was going to. Only...
Oh, I think this gloomy old castle's getting on your nerves. Heavens knows there are enough superstitions about it, too. Oh, Mr. Chandler.
Oh, good evening, Nicholas.
Good evening, sir.
Oh, he wants to talk to you, Uncle Frank. I'll go and get cleaned up for dinner.
I won't keep you long, Mr. Chandler.
Well, I'm glad to see you. Won't you stay and have dinner with us?
I'm afraid I can't. Jan Metzos is dining with my father and me in an hour.
I see.
Cigarette, sir?
Thank you.
I don't know why I should come to you with this, except that Jan Metzos doesn't seem to like you. And since I don't like him...
Just what is it, Nicholas?
Well, Metzos and Dimitri have suddenly become as thick as thieves. And I am beginning to wonder why.
You've changed since that night in Tibet.
I hope so, sir. I've never really taken to politics seriously. There's always been someone running about whispering and plotting. You know the Balkans, comic opera revolutions.
Which haven't been so comic after all, as it's turned out.
No, sir. Oh, not that we've had a revolution here when Metzos came. It was more of an infiltration. And my father gave up the throne to prevent a civil war.
That must have been a heart-rending decision to make.
It was. Although it meant nothing to me at the time. But now... Well, I think there's something else going on, and I can't find out what it is.
Well, I thought you didn't care about the government.
I find I do, after all. If I allow Metzos to send me back to Paris again, and if anything happens to my people, I shall be responsible.
Nicholas, I can't tell you how I know, but Metzos is planning something.
He is?
And you mustn't go back to Paris. You'll be killed if you do.
But Mr. Chandler...
If you tell anyone I've said this, Metzos will ask my government to order me home.
Of course I won't, sir.
Just refuse to go to Paris. Metzos can't afford to make an issue of it yet.
But then Dimitri can't be involved with him.
Why?
Because, well, when he first came here, he tried to persuade Metzos to get rid of you. But now he says it doesn't matter. That you aren't as important as he'd thought.
Good.
Do you mean you know what Metzos is going to do?
Well, not exactly, but I know Dimitri is planning something besides, on his own.
But what could he plan?
A personal matter. Nothing to do with you or the country.
He seems so different here than he did in Paris.
Don't let him know you think so.
Well, I invited him here and I can ask him to go.
No. No, when the time comes, I'll deal with him on his own grounds.
But, Mr. Chandler...
You've asked my advice and here it is. Treat Dimitri exactly as you always have. And Metzos.
I've already told him I didn't want to go back to Paris.
Well, that's all right. Let him think you're just bored with school. If you can convince him you're completely irresponsible, so much the better.
That won't be difficult.
And there's one thing you can do for me, Nicholas.
Certainly, sir.
Invite me for a hunting trip in the mountains.
Well, I'd be very glad to.
I want to have a look at that mountain with the landmark on its side. The curved sword.
But we can't go there. The Stavins gypsies would cut us to bits.
Well, I don't want you to go with me, Nicholas. I just need an excuse.
But it would be suicide.
Well, if you'd rather not arrange it, I'll manage. But I'll have to go there.
Oh, I'll do it if you insist, but... Good Lord, look at the time. I really must go, Mr. Chandler.
Remember what I said about Dimitri?
I will.
Must you go, Nicholas? Betty and Bob will be down in a moment.
I'm sorry I can't stay, Mrs. Regent.
We'll come up again soon. We're almost always at home.
Well, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Nicholas.
You know, Dad, I'm sorry for that boy. He's caught in something too big for him to handle.
Sorry for anyone who's a friend of Dimitri.
Uncle Frank, is Nicky gone?
Yes, Betty.
Darling, what's the matter?
Oh, Mother, look. It must have been right there on the table all the time I was dressing and I didn't see it.
It's a little figurine.
Oh, look at it. Look, Uncle Frank.
It can't be. Give it to me, Betty.
I knew it the minute I saw it. It is black magic, isn't it, Uncle Frank?
It is indeed. It's the Egyptian priestess from the temple under the Sphinx.
Would you like to be a magician? Would you like to mystify your friends with magic tricks? Chandu the magician has a magic trick for you. Chandu calls it the Assyrian money changer. It changes pennies into dimes. And we'll send it to you for just 25 cents and a White King box top. This trick is fascinating. Listen. You lay a penny on the table. Cover the penny with the mystic ruby block. So coot, you say. Then remove the block. Now the penny's gone, and you see a bright, shining silver dime instead. Wonderful, isn't it? And it's so simple, you can do it not once, but again and again and again. Your friends will never catch on. Now, to get Chandu's Assyrian money changer, just mail 25 cents in coin and the top from a box of White King soap to Chandu, Los Angeles 21, California. That's Chandu, Los Angeles 21. And remember, nothing washes like soap. There is no soap like White King. You'll love White King. Chandu the Magician is presented for your enjoyment every weekday evening. Your announcer is Howard Culver. The makers of White King invite you to listen Monday at this time when the story resumes. Chandu, the magician. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.